Blog Talk Radio.
I'm King News, and I come to you with the truth. The mean streets took 6 more lives overnight, all the result of gangbang stupidity. By the way, you gangsters should know, one of your victims was a 3-year-old girl. Local gang members, you still don't get it, do you?
Straight up bandits everywhere I look. Used to be a straight A student, bad as a crook, robbing people just to smoke and shoot up. Used to have a poop butt, now he's a poop butt. Dropped out of school and he joins the neighborhood gang. Hanging on the streets selling cane to his own people. Now when I say people, I mean color. You a stupid motherfucker.
Since we are the mothers of this earth, it's time we start being good mothers from the birth of our children. No time for sleeping, teaching to fight and win for the right reason. It's your time, it's your life living. Proud to be black, young and gifted, lifted by the knowledge of taking the right route. Gang violence needs to be wiped out.
One and the same, everyone came in the same chain, caught with the same aim, brain games and names changed. To destroy the black male crack deal and semi-automatic static if the crack fails. So since we all talk the same slang, stop killing my brother cause we're all from the same gang.
Don't you know we got to put our heads together?
Make the change cause we're all in the same gang.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, lifers? Welcome back to another edition of Life Be Lifing. So, man, let me start this off right here this week. So, earlier today, I got a chance to see my son graduate from 8th grade. And as he's headed to high school, and as I looked across the audience, I seen 200 young black people about to embark on society, man. You know, these next 4 years of their lives, man, is very crucial. One of the things that really stood out to me, as I told my brother on a call earlier, is that I seen a lack of fathers. Yes, there were some fathers there, but not a whole bunch of fathers. Next, I seen a lack of direction. And when I say a lack of direction, what I'm saying is that there were 20 rows of children. This was their day to shine, their day to be admonished, their day to be honored. And the wishes of the teachers and faculty members were, hey, let us wait to the end of each row, you know, to clap for the children. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things I seen after the first name was called, you know, of course, nobody followed directions, followed instructions. The second thing that I noticed was very appalling to me, and we will talk about this in a little bit, is that so when it got to about the 13th, 14th row, chaos ensued. And when I say chaos ensued, there were parents coming out the bleachers, walking through the children that were getting ready to graduate, so they're interrupting their focus, interrupting their time, interrupting their day, pulling their children out of the seats to leave early. And to me, you know, a lot of these kids graduated as a team. And, you know, it's just like when you're playing sports, you know, football. If you're playing offense, you know what I'm saying, you have to wait your turn to play defense. When you're not on the field, you don't just go to the locker room and play Xbox, you know what I'm saying, and wait for your team to get back on, you know, the other side of the fence. Two things stood out at me. We wonder why our kids fail to follow instructions, but yet we show them that we don't follow instructions. And these are critical times to instill that in our children, because high school is a whole different game, and so is their life. So as we continue to say that it starts at home, we can't talk about it. We need to be about it. All right, y'all. Welcome back to another edition of Life Be Lifing. I am your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J. Welcome to part 3 as we try to conclude this monthly topic, Black Men Wake Up. For today, we have to kind of talk about the origin and where it all starts from. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Black Men Waking Up part 3, but we're also going to put a little spotlight on the role, I'm sorry, that women play. So I'm going to say this and kind of give a preface to everything else that's going to come about. So in my estimation, the independent woman or mindset, I think, stems from poor judgment in men, poor representation of a man that they've seen and those that they trusted along the way that have violated them through broken promises and broken actions. And so now the results of those things has produced a generation that no longer needs that influence. They're going to be self-directed and kind of self-driven. And we start to hear a lot of things like the independent woman, right? So that phrase independent woman, or what now is kind of being spoke of and is being deemed the future is female. This was first coined back in 1975, so it's nothing new. But if we go back to 75, you know, this was like when change was first arriving. You know, before 75, it was so serious that a married woman, she couldn't even get a credit card without permission, right? So
wow.
The solution or the origin of preventing the problem, in my estimation, is going to start with women. We want to look at, I want to present to you lifers the independent woman role and almost how that term was really deemed for y'all set up. Watch me. Okay. So I told y'all that term independent woman, or what is now the phrase the future is female, that goes back to 75. So when you look at what is an independent woman, we all know, like our version, you know, Destiny's Child sang it. Y'all know the song. Some of y'all didn't learn how to spell till you heard the song. Anyway, independent woman, if we're looking at, you know, just the phrase definitions, it means that you're able to find happiness on your own without having to rely on another person or society for validation. Now, I'm going to tell you how this is a setup. Again, it means you're able to find happiness on your own without having to rely on another person or society for validation. So first off, what is happiness? Because what I deem as happiness, bro, I know is different for you. Lifers is different for you all. So what happens if you don't know truly what happiness is? How can you be fulfilled? But to be an independent woman, which they're pushing everybody to be, you're supposed to be able to find happiness on your own. What if you don't know that? And so have you ever seen people that get a lot of things, like everything is handed to them? It seems like the world is theirs. It's their oyster, but yet they still aren't satisfied. You know, they're not happy. And if you don't know what happiness is, so, okay, let's look at the next little part and not having to rely on another person. So that's where we get these phrases. I don't need a man. But we know that's a lie. And then without validation. Now, lifers, and bro, answer this. Who does not like a pat on the back or attaboy? Do you like that, right?
Indeed.
Everybody likes validation. But this here is saying that for you to be deemed an independent woman and to advance into this future and lead, you don't need social validation. But on the same token, they teaching you to tell your homegirl to complain, girl, he don't never tell me I'm this. Girl, he don't never say this and that. You complaining about validation, but they just told you, you don't need validation from society or person. That's a setup for failure. So then we have all the depression and the things like that, the anger, the hurt that then gets transferred down to the child. So we ask these particular questions, bro. We like, what, you know, where is mom, right? Like, where is mom? And men, this is where, even though we're kicking this off talking about, you know, women, this is where we kind of come into play. Where is mom? Crazy part, bro, 77.6% of moms that are single, you want to know where they at? They at work. Now, this is per Bureau of Labor Statistics for single moms. So what they're saying is here is us men who, for whatever reason, we're not in the home for whatever reason. Some are valid, some are not. We're not there. Okay. We already talked about the statistics in part one of the margin that we have in our black homes with single moms. And now we're saying that out of them, 77.6% aren't there. They're at work. So unless somebody knows something that I don't know. How can you possibly be in two places at one time? You know, how can you control home from work? Now, any lifers that's me and bro's age, you know, we know how, because we were controlled from anywhere.
Right.
You know, but for the newer generation, because there's about a 10-year gap when you really see like a breakdown in respect from children to adults, the inability to you know, have that, it takes a village mindset. So this is really how you able to do that. One, it's fair and consistent discipline, right? Yelling doesn't do anything. So before they become this man that nobody can deal with, handle, we talked about it, it's easier to fix a hurting child than a broken man. So if we got to start at the root, stop yelling at them. That doesn't do any, if all you're doing is yelling, you're not doing anything. Because what we're being taught at that point is, it's just words. There will be no real form of punishment or consequence. Also understand that y'all can't be mom and dad. Y'all got to have male role models. And every male is not a role model. We got to be clear. If your brother is selling dope, that can't be the person that's giving your child the wisdom and advice. Well, that's the only male figure he got. That's his only uncle. Understand. But why would you put that in person to try to steer your son into the direction he needs to be as a man? So then you have to understand, let the church, let coaches, let teachers, somebody pour into him or her to get them there. So every male is not a role model, lifers, okay? Quit talking to your sons like they the enemy. Shut the F up. Sit the F down. Boy, get the F out my face. Some I see talk to them like they boyfriend a man. So they on the phone with their homegirl. I can't come because little Chris want me to watch a movie with him. bro, I'm cooking because little Chris wants seafood. Or you talking to them like they your partners. Little Chris, you see this on TikTok? little Chris, so tell me why your friend mama text me and say... And we have to also get back to the return of separation between parent and friend. And, bro, I don't know if you've heard nobody say this lately, but I ain't heard this in a long time. Do you remember the phrase, and I'll let you finish it if you know it. This is something your mama would say to you. I'm not one of your
friends.
Exactly. And if you was on the verge of getting slapped, it was I'm not one of your little friends.
Or one of your bleeping friends.
Right. But when the last time you heard that, right? I haven't heard that in a very long time. So I say all that to say, man, as I turn it back over to you, bro, single moms, you have the most important job ever to exist on this earth, right? Like really get that. Y'all have the most important job ever to exist. And why I say I believe that is you have to find a way to nurture them without spoiling them, right? You got to, like, compensate for the missing dad without being overprotective or smothering. You got to love them unconditionally but still show them that the world won't love you. Teach them to love everybody but, like, don't trust strangers. That's difficult.
Yeah.
And why it's the most important, again, is because if you're not successful, your one child that you're not successful with can destroy a multitude and even can be the start of a bloodline that's like inadequate dads or men, right? Like, I don't know if you know somebody. I know people where it's like they dad wasn't in their life. And then they daddy will tell a story that his dad, so the granddaddy wasn't. You on the third generation, and nobody can say they have a strong father. So sometimes that one can impact and start a bloodline. Man, single mamas, y'all got the most important job that could ever be thought of.
So, bro, I'm going to go back just a little bit. So, as men, we have to understand and realize whom are we getting into cahoots with. I'm going to say it what it is. So, if y'all listen to the first installment of this, you know, you hear me talk about the slave mentality where men were taken from plantation to plantation. And now here we are this day and age where even in our era, a man was labeled by a few different things, you know, his swag, his gear, his drip, how he looked, and what he could do for somebody else. And a lot of that in a teenage years, because I can't do for myself yet, but the only thing that you could do for a woman was what? Validate. Make her feel as pretty as she thought she felt, which she really was, but now she just needed that validation. Now, because you validated, it was taken a step further. Now, let's go ahead and get on into adulthood. A lot of women, you know who you're messing with before you lay down with them. And if he was inconsistent when you laid down with him, he's going to continue to be inconsistent because who's saying that you was who he wanted to be with? You know what, man? I watched a video today, and I think I shared it to the page. So, lifers, if you're part of the Life Be Lifing page, go check out the video. So, in essence, they had a panel of few men, few women. So, a lady stood up, and she was like, well, you know, if he's in a relationship, is it possible that he can really like me?
Mm-hmm.
So the fella answered, and the panel went nuts. So he pretty much said, do I like you? Yeah. The reason why I like you is because you didn't create space for yourself in my life. You took the space that I gave you.
Mm-hmm. You fit in.
So,
you fit in without me having to make that effort.
Yeah. So now you're telling me that in my free time, I could come hang out with you, lay up with you. If I'm on the phone with you, my girl come in the room, I can just, hey, she in the room, I'll just hang up because you already know the deal. So, yeah, I like you because now I got the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
I got my home life, and I have outside. So let's get back to the situation at hand. So let's take that. So now sometimes women want what another woman has. So they lay up with this man in the event or thinking that they can get him to leave what he has for her.
Right.
But now think, now check this out. So now when he doesn't commit or when he doesn't respond the way that she wants him to respond, first comes anger.
Mm-hmm.
After that anger, it's more lashing out and it's trashing. And now if you're pregnant, it's child support. Don't get me wrong. Because we'll get to deadbeat dads in a little bit because me and you had a conversation last night.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of women put that man on child support to stay attached. Man, if you can't say amen, say ouch. So the thing is that through that attachment, you feel like that he has to deal with you. So you still get to see him. He still gets to come around. And the moment that he doesn't do exactly what you say do, you withhold his child.
Use him like a pawn.
You use the child like a pawn. And this is the thing. When a child is in the middle, they don't see the sins of the mother. They don't see the sins of the father.
Mm-hmm.
All they know, this is mommy and daddy. So when you put that precious child in the middle, you damage them.
Think and you know what else you do, bro, right there, what you just said?
Go ahead.
What happens with that is you lessen their value. So like what you said, when that takes place, How does that impact the value of the child when they're being used like a pawn to spite one person, to draw another one in? Mm-hmm. Or if he can't be with the mama the way he wants to, then he says bump the kid too. Like, when it goes both sides. So when this child is like, yo,
yeah,
I'm a pawn, how does that impact their value? That kind of ties into what we just got done talking about. It starts with the origin inside of the home and that parenting.
Yeah. And when their value is impacted, when they feel less of themselves, they get distracted easily by shiny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, if you listening, go ahead and dial that number, 516-531-9473. Join the conversation. But when shiny things come along, you get distracted because now your focus has been broken. Imagine driving down the highway, listen to your music. You could be talking to your mate, your kids, and all of a sudden the sun blinds you.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? You lose your focus.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose your focus, there are a few different outcomes. Once you lose your focus, you have to regather yourself. Because you know when that sun get in your eyes, you're like, okay. Sometimes you turn the music down. Everybody shut up. I need to recenter myself.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you can blindly switch lanes in the event of trying to get away from the sun. But in that lane switch, you're now off-centered. You're now offset. And because you've now driven into someone else's lane blindly, that's when accidents happen. Come on, y'all. Somebody talk to me tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So when those accidents happen, well, we try to blame it on the sun. But the
right.
crucial thing is that we could have reached above us and flipped down the sun visor. Hello?
Yeah.
And that sun visor is that protection, which means your morals, your gifts, your beauty, your desire, your ambitions. But because we feel like that we can outshine or outrun the sun, our focus gets off track. And now when our focus gets off track, you know, back when I was preaching, man, there was saying, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Do as the Romans do, yeah.
And what people fail to realize is that whom you are is your genetic makeup. It makes you who you are, what you're going to be, how you act, react, how do you respond. But people tend to forget. Okay, so right now, I'm at home in Bell Fountain. You stay in Florissant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if I lost my focus and ended up at the wrong house, I'm in your house. From me being lost, I go to a familiar. Somebody catch this. You go to a familiar place because it makes you feel at ease.
Mm-hmm.
But just because I'm in that familiar place, I can't take off my drawers and go lay in your bed.
Yeah, it's
like
not the
I'm
right
at home.
Place.
You feel me?
Yeah.
And if I did, me and your relationship would disintegrate.
Facts.
And that's what happens.
Facts.
People come back to familiar situations where they're comfortable, but they let down their guard and not understand, yeah, you're here, but you're not at home.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I wish somebody would catch that.
Man, you said something though, man, that like really just it stood out. You know, you were talking about when they put less values on themselves, you know, speaking of kids in the different scenarios. And what's crazy is like when they generate that less value on themselves, what does that mean is really what you ask. And so If somebody, if I don't have a high level of value for me, for myself, what kind of value am I going to have for you and yours?
None.
Like, you know, anybody that knows that movie Juice, you know, there was a line in there with Bishop, you know, they in the hallway, they by the locker rooms. And he says, look, I ain't blank. I ain't never going to be blank. And you less of a man than me. So the moment that I decide that you ain't blank, pow, so be it. Now, I know you're like, dang, yeah. Okay, it's my favorite movie, whatever. Let's focus. Okay?
Right.
The point is when you generate less value on yourself, the value you have for others is even lower. And in those situations, people become more prone to become violent. You know, whether it's public violence, domestic violence, animal torture, et cetera. You don't value any, you see kids, they just destructive, right? They go, why are you tearing that up? I know kids breaking TVs, brand new TVs. What you breaking for? I got mad. And what they got to do with the TV? Break their games. Break their toys. The same things they begged you for, right? Why? Mm-hmm. They don't have value on it, bro. Because they don't have a high value on themselves. So we got to, like, talk about ways. And I'll ask you this question. So with value really playing a part in kids' life, and I even remember going back, like, I want to say this was week one, week two of the podcast, and you talked about a situation to where your son is excuse me, is having basketball things, and parents are being, they're walking their kids out, and there's some boys that don't have anybody there to walk them out, and you're there doing that, and the value that that adds to a child, to where they feel important. They, everybody, like you said today, you know, it's everybody's getting up and walking out once they kid gets their reward. But what about those kids who might have been in a situation like you talked about on the mental health episode, where they're being raised by an older person that maybe can't get around and can't get out? So maybe there's a kid there that doesn't have any representation.
Yeah.
And so when you take your child, who, by the way, spends more time with your child than you do, if we're going to be real, because even the kid living in our house, remember, you at work, ladies and gentlemen, 77.6% of us are working. And even if we're stay-at-home parents, our kid is at school for 8 hours. So they get home, they got homework to do. You take the time out of for shower, you know, dinner. Realistically, besides dinner and you know, maybe 2-3 hours a day that you have with your child. And these kids are there for eight. And they might be the only support system that this child has. And you just pluck them out because you can't follow a formula in the format that says, please remain seated until, please don't do this until. And then you wonder why we have kids that are fighting students, kids that are snapping out on other adults, kids that have no regard for any type of authority figure, role model. They can't hear nothing. So the value, how do you say we start to repair and impart value in these kids to ultimately curve this road that we're talking about to tell people to wake up? How do we add this value to them?
Man, to add value, you got to do a self-assessment. Because we all have been hurt, and hurt mm-hmm. people hurt people.
Yeah, true.
So by you evaluating yourself, looking at mirror, man, and what do you like or do not like about yourself towards that? There are relationships that extend outward because of who you are. Part of those values contains the patience mm-hmm. and the willingness to say, I'm sorry, to repair relationships, or at least make amends.
Okay.
You have to know in your heart of hearts, as you're walking this earth, that every situation, every circumstance has not been predetermined. And when you as a man can stand boldly before yourself and you are accepting and you know in your gut, I'm doing the best that I can and I'm still pushing. With that being said, you will start to carry yourself in a manner people will start to notice, like, man, this alpha male thing, man, has really always got on my nerve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an alpha male. I'm a grown man. Well,
right.
If you carry yourself as such, why do you have to announce it?
Exactly. It would be evident.
I digress.
Yeah.
So when you carry yourself as such, especially when you have children, it does carry over to them. So when these kids at school see my son, and of course kids are going to be kids,
mm-hmm.
especially when they get around other kids, but for the majority of the time, if they see my kid doing the right thing, presence of other kids, if I see my child going down the wrong path, if I get to him and correct him, or if I see another man get to him and correct him,
mm-hmm.
that's one of two things. First, I'm going to go to the adult. Now, not saying that I don't believe my child and, you know, but I'm still going to go to the adult first.
True.
Hey, I seen you rapping with my son. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he XYZ. Bet. Thank you for getting him together. Now I'm going to go talk to my son.
Mm-hmm.
Now, believe it or not, just because me and that father had a moment, there are other fathers and kids watching.
Mm-hmm.
So now if I talk to that father, I go talk to my son and XYZ with him.
Right.
That correction on spot, but also have that village mentality because I couldn't get there. So
mm-hmm.
if I can't get there, please correct him. So what started to happen as I started to show up to more games, the younger guys started to know me. They started to accept the advice from me.
Mm-hmm.
They let me push them. The coaches let me interact. So now those young men, I'm not going to go as far to say that they saw me as a father figure, but they knew that somebody real was in their midst. I can let my guard down around him. And it's not just me. The basketball coach, man, had been married less than a year and had a newborn.
Mm.
And he was still dedicating his time to have
to somebody
that didn't want to practice.
Right.
You know? But
carrying
yourself in that matter, man. Yeah, major commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But carrying yourself in that manner to where when my son lost, it wasn't just my son, it was his team. Fellas, y'all get it next time. It's harder. Push yourself. When they got mad during the game, especially my son,
mm-hmm.
hey, let me pull you to the side. But you know what the icing on the cake is?
What's that?
Having a strong woman by my side.
True.
See, as you talked about at the beginning of the show, man, the I don't need a man mentality. But this is how the bait and switch has taken place. So child support has come into our systems, into our homes. And now, and women, I am not trying to down, talk about, drag you through the mud. I just want to talk about it. So if you get offended, reach out. You know what I'm saying? We'll have that conversation. Men, likewise. So
the way the bait and switch is taking place, women are in government housing,
mm-hmm.
getting food stamps, getting TANF and child support. But watch this. The government mandated that from the father, saying, hey, we're not going to let you or trust you to take care of on your own, because she came to us saying you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. So now we're going to extract the funds from you involuntarily.
Mm-hmm.
But now that woman is on government housing. But watch this. The second you get a higher paying job, which is a little bit more than what you was making, but not enough to fully succeed, they cut you off.
Yep.
See, so a lot of women say that you don't need a man, but Uncle Sam has become your man.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I wish somebody tell the truth.
And we talked about 2 weeks ago how all of that you just named was really a plan to help divide. It was never meant to help succeed or push forward.
Yeah, indeed. So when a woman says that she don't need a man, there's a root to that situation. So let me backpedal a little bit, because we don't know her story. She could have been raped, molested, beat, you know, emotional damage, emotional trauma, not had a father, so now she distrusts all men.
Mm-hmm.
A man that she seen as an authority figure tried to push up on her. So that mentality can come in place as well. So we have to be careful on how we treat people, how we react, and how we act in certain situations, because then we fall into that category. Perfect example. We talked about a few weeks ago on as I arrive at a door, if there is a woman or a family that arrives at the same time, I will go ahead and hold the door.
Mm-hmm.
Let them on in. There's been times that I've been by myself without my family that, you know, the woman may say nothing. Or
right.
She may say, you know, I got a boyfriend.
Right.
Or I don't want you. Well, the feeling is mutual. See, some women are so damaged that they feel that every good gesture is meant to get in their pants.
Exactly. Every nice gesture has some type of agenda behind it, a hidden motive, a hidden agenda.
Yeah, facts, man. And that's the world that we live in. So let's go back to Uncle Sam. So Uncle Sam, here I am trying to do the right thing, wean myself off food stamps, get out of Section 8 housing, but the second I do slightly better, you want to cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to us as men, our values, our morals, and the seeds that we carry. We have to understand that we're living in a day and age that the competition is real.
Mm.
You got women wanting men, women wanting women.
Yeah.
So
women wanting men that want to be women.
Yeah, facts. So the competition is real out here. But I had to think about it before I say it.
Thank you.
Because that's mom listening.
That's why I stopped.
Yeah. So when a man carries himself in a certain way, women know what they can or can't get away with.
Because think that's the real alpha, right? You know,
in a sense.
But an alpha. You talked about an alpha male being one of the worst terms, because everybody wants to proclaim I'm an alpha, I'm a man, but you don't have to tell everybody. Like, bro, how do you know that an apple tree is an apple tree? Like, how do you know?
The fruits.
by the fruit, right? So it's mm-hmm. it's not what you say you are. Like, it's what you download and what you show. Like, you don't got to tell me that the apple tree, like, is very visible, and it's only one way to justify that it's not. And you talked about the things that you being as a strong man also being due to a strong woman. And that's a crucial point, because a lot of women, like, y'all got to get this, man, like, a strong woman, or let me rephrase it and say the right woman. The right woman mm-hmm. will make a boy into a man, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, all of us have points in our life to where numerically we were grown, bills and responsibilities, we were grown. But when it came to handling, you know, things in the right manner, we weren't. And it wasn't until the right woman comes along. And that's no disrespect to any of the other women that any of us men might have came across. But yeah. but the right woman will make a boy into a man. He will literally want to do better. And the reality mm-hmm. is, if he's not advancing, it very well could be just you not the right woman, and that's okay. But that right person beside you is what's ultimately going to guide us and steer us. And so when we're talking about the decisions, everything is based upon decision base. You know, for the particular men, like here we are, we got to just take a little bit more responsibility and accountability. And I understand, because I talk to a lot of people on a day-to-day basis, and the conversation might be serious, it might be, you know, hee-hee, ha-ha. Everybody doesn't want to be a dad, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But almost every man want to have sex, and that's cool. But guess what? If you don't want to have a baby, you got to be responsible. These are the most irresponsible things, men and women. How you letting this dude go raw, and you know he ain't take care of his other child?
Yeah.
Why put yourself in a position to play number two? Fellas, if you don't want to be with this chick for real, you don't want to take care of the baby, you don't even want to have a baby, you just want to have sex. You know they make things for that, right? They do. You know, so it's just, we have to know who we laying down with, and not mm-hmm. just know them like, oh, yeah, Tony, I know Shay, she stay over there off of wham. No, I don't mean no like that. I don't mean no her because you telling me her peoples is from the Peabody's, the West Side, the North Side. I ain't talking about Nora like that. I mean Nora like, yo, her mom's got her wig on straight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The daddy was a good dude, and he, you know, was about his business. You got to understand what you're dealing with, because when you don't and you end up having these extensions, this is where people end up, it comes out down the line that, you know, that daddy was molesting because he was really the stepdaddy, but you didn't know that. He mm-hmm. wasn't really even the daddy. Him and the mama was just together 20 years. And meanwhile, he's molesting, you know what I'm saying, this person. So you just really have to know people's history. Do a little knowledge instead of just looking at the shape and looking at his car and he looking at your lips or whatever that's like. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to do some knowledge, man, so we can really put into this child. You know, we talked yeah. about the value that's on him. If you make the child a pawn, they're going to feel devalued, so therefore they're going to look at other people with even less value. Mm. And if I feel like I'm not anything, what do you think I'm going to feel about you? And so now we start to see what? The Columbines, Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what we experienced back in October with the schools here, you start to see these things more common. We just talked about that earlier. Where was that, Texas? Somewhere like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, man, and as I was getting ready to hop on the show, I came across another article on Facebook where a young man, they showed the picture of him and his girlfriend. You know, they smiling, happy. He took her life on Instagram Live, took his own. Yeah. Man, let me tell you something. And y'all may cringe when I say this, and y'all may have some choice words for me. Don't be afraid to let a woman's power work. Uh-oh.
Break it down,
everybody
bro.
Scratching their head.
Break it down.
A man, every morning, he's getting ready to walk out the house, and the woman, his wife or his girlfriend, fiance, tells him, baby, you can do anything you set your mind to today. Go
mm-hmm.
out and have a powerful day. And those words are continued to be spoken into that man's ear,
mm-hmm.
his brain, and his heart. They start to dictate his actions. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. So now, when that situation comes up at work, that if you wouldn't, you didn't have your mind on straight that day, you got into an argument, possibly lost your job.
Mm-hmm.
You had some reserves. You know what? My wife spoke this in me today. I believe I can fly because she told me I can. So now I'm going to take these leaps. I'm going to jump out this tree. I'm going to jump off this cliff. Why? Because my woman told me I could.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are some women, well, women that are missing certain elements, whether it's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's insecureness.
Okay.
Wondering about, is he looking at somebody else? Wondering about if somebody else wants him.
Mm-hmm.
So they start speaking ill into his day.
Mm.
You wouldn't, y'all know the word.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't gonna never be. Y'all
mm-hmm.
know the word. Your mama wasn't. Your daddy wasn't. So that means you not gonna be. Y'all know the word. That man walks out the house with a whole different mindset. The first person that gets out of line with me today.
They catch
I'm
me.
About to unleash this
they
fury.
Me. Everything that I couldn't unleash as a man to the wife. That's what they get.
You even seen it happen at work.
Mm-hmm. I partake.
Fury.
I've been on both ends of that. Both ends.
You know?
And even speaking, so even those words that can be put into a man, for mm-hmm. those who don't know, lifers, I am not a component of change. I had an extremely traumatic experience in my teenage years that has, unfortunately, up until even this day, shaken me to where change, I can't fearful. And I understand God didn't give you the spirit of fear. I know all the scriptures, but I'm still a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I came about 2 years ago. I was called and offered this position that ultimately it really would change my life and set up things for the better, right?
Yeah.
And bro, I called you and I was like, yo, they want me to do this. I'm scared, right?
Yeah.
Remember this?
You did.
I'm scared. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I wasn't going to do it. I was that fearful. I was going to stay in my little corner of comfort because fear and change was so crippling. And I say that to say, but my wife, I hollered at her because that's your help me. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Thanks.
So, and this is when I set everything up and I said, be careful of who you choose, know the background. These are the reasons why. Because when I come to you with my insecurity and my vulnerability, you have the opportunity to break me forever, or you're going to see a Superman in the physical. What she chose to do was tell her absolute truth. And she said to me, you can do anything. I believe in you. She went so far and some people blow smoke. This is her absolute truth. She said, if you told me the sky is falling, I will believe you because I have that much faith in you. Man, boy, what?
Wow.
Bro, you know what I did to that interview.
Yeah.
This interview, Lifers, was supposed to be a three-part setup. After the first part, they was like, do you want it?
Right.
This is just what that influence, your words. One of the biggest lies ever told, man, was a nursery rhyme, right? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie. And words hurt. We know that from a physical, you know, just being humans. Somebody said something to you 10, 15 years ago, you still feel away. You can be a child of God, and I know you know it because the book of James talks about it. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. This one little member can cast thy body to hell. It has the power to bless men and both curse men. These things ought not to be. So we know that the tongue is like wicked. Words hurt forever. So what are you putting in your child? Remember when I said, hey, stop talking to your kid like they're your enemy?
Yeah.
You know how furious it makes me, bro, to hear a woman be like, they telling their kid, 8-9-year-old kid, shut the F up, Byron. Sit down. Get the F out of my face. Why are you talking to your kid like that?
I can't take you.
If I'm lying, man, I will log off right now.
I know. I know we've been there.
Why? Why are you talking to your – you mad at your child, but you really should be mad at the baby daddy, but you really should be mad at yourself because you the one that picked them. Dude got three kids, don't take care of damn one of the kids, and you think you're going to have a baby and get a change? Make it make sense. The only thing
that
my dude changed, tell me.
That child is the image of who they still envy.
Right.
So now, because you're not here for me to take this anger out on, this is the reflection of you, made in your image and your likeness. So this is the closest thing that I can unleash on. See, man, we have to understand, man, you know what? I'm going to go back a little bit. So I have four kids. I have a 27-year-old, 23, 19-year-old.
Mm.
Those are three girls. Shout
Got
out.
Them up there, bro.
And then my boy is 14. My 27 and my 23 are by two different young ladies. And then I have my wife. So at the end of my last marriage, myself and my wife were, you know, courting around.
Mm-hmm.
And Tanitra was maybe if one, something like that. And back then, the one thing about me, I always had a job and I always kept my own place. I didn't have a car for real because I used to get too toasted and I'm going to keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
So one night I went to the club that I would always go to, came home, like, tripping. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Called my wife, my now wife. And she pretty much told me. Now, this goes back to me saying, let the woman have her power, men. Y'all understand shortly. We talked, man, for probably about an hour. Pretty much she told me, she said, hey, I'm tired. I'm tired of you in and out. This is your child. I want you to be in their life. But ain't no more of this. Choose you this day on where you're going to be.
Right. Right.
If I'm lying, I'm flying, man. She on the line?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? See, what I've never really talked about is that I was still scarred. I was so scared of recommitting. And it was something about her words, the authority that she took Because you're pretty much saying, hey, I didn't have this baby just to have this baby. You're the one that I want. And if you don't want me, it's okay. But right now, you need to choose. And I'm like, I'm in. 2 months later, moved in with her, let my place go. The rest is history. Fellas, I'm saying that to say this. Remember a little bit ago we talked about be choosy about who you're laying with.
Mm-hmm.
Some women don't have your best interest. They're looking to tie you down.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to have you wrapped around their finger to where you can't have another relationship, to where you can't be free. And we have to wake up. Our home is where it starts. See, I'm in customer service. There is no way I'm going to go help and talk all nice and professional and giggle with people all day and come home and give my wife and kids hell.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way. To the phones real quick. I see everybody is on here. Mom, good evening. We really appreciate you listening in. Do you think you want to have words tonight, bro?
Miss Lewis, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'm going to click her in. If she doesn't want to have anything to say, it's good.
Absolutely.
Let me say this before I bring you all live, Mom. We're so elated to have an elder listening in with us. Because sometimes, you know, zeal can get the better. And we want you to know that as being an elder, being more wise and being through where we're going, we are never above being corrected. So let me put that out there. So I'm gonna click you on. And Mom, you're live.
Not today.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. All righty. I even appreciated hearing a voice. That is,
yeah,
that is something. All right. So, wife, I got you on live. Good evening.
I'm going to just say women allow a man to be a man and don't uphold a man when he's in the wrong, and don't be afraid to tell a man when he's wrong. But don't put a black man in a situation to where his life is taken over a female's ignorance. Just making sure that you're supporting your mate. Don't go talking to your family about your mate and then come to your mate and try to flip it like the family's talking about your mate. Stand behind your man, beside him, in front, whatever it is. When he's wrong, you correct him in the privacy of your home, not in front of other people. That's all I have to say.
Hey, man, she be drunk.
You can close the show. Turn the lights off. It's, wow.
You hear me?
Wow.
So I'm going to say this. Because me and you talked about this. I had a situation at my son's school. There was a heated basketball game. And him and this player, like, kept going at it all game.
Mm-hmm.
My son blocked his shot. They kind of got face-to-face. My son got a tech. So at the end of the game, I seen him walking down the hallway with maybe three more little fellas. So I heard him say, number 11, you know, said he wanted to fight me. And I'm like, wait a minute, number 11, that's my son.
Right.
So I was like, hey, my guy, can I holler at you real quick? So he turned around and looked, and I was like, hey, now keep in mind, we're in the hallway of the school. We got another caller popped on. I'm going to get to them real quick.
Okay.
So when he turned around and looked, I ain't on nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So he walked up. I walked up. We shook hands. I was like, hey, I heard you say number 11, said that he wanted to fight you, and that's my son. If he says something like that, let me know, because I'm going to correct that. Well, what happened? So this is the point of what my wife just talked about.
Uh-huh.
So at the end of our conversation, his father just jumped up in my face. Well, this is my son. It got loud and rowdy. So that was a bunch of females. I guess that was with the father that started jawjacking and, you know, not knowing the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't have words for the father because I'm trying to get him to realize I'm that father that looks out for everybody's son. If my son said that, it's unacceptable.
Right.
He wasn't trying to hear it. So I'm like, well, go ask your son. I wasn't trying to intimidate that young man. That's stupid. So now here go the females, you know what I'm saying, trying to get rowdy. So young man got in my face, and I just turned my back on him and laughed like, man, this is not the place. As parents, see, let's go back to the beginning of the show. As parents, we're celebrating these graduations and things right now as a village. We have to come together as a village,
right,
put pride to the side, and do what's right. Remember I said that there was a father that grabbed my son during the game? And I went to the father calmly and thanked him?
Mm-hmm.
But see, like my wife said, sometimes when a situation comes up, women start to doing what women do. Not all, let me say that.
Mm-hmm.
But the man now sees his pride is on the line. And that's how things escalate.
Exactly.
Fellas, think twice before you act. See, had I been a lesser person, that situation could have been real ugly. But I thought about my son.
Mm-hmm.
I want to continue to come to his games. I want to come to his graduation. So all this extra stuff, and I really hope and I pray that when he got home and he talked to the son said, Dad, that ain't even what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because me and the son was done. Let's pop on this other caller.
Yeah, for sure.
2779, appreciate you calling in. We got you live.
Hey, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes,
what's up, lifer?
I totally missed the show. I am so sorry. I jumped on like, oh, no, I missed my Wednesday night juice.
But guess
whatever
what?
Y'all
it's
are talking about, I'm
but guess
sure
what?
It's
it's
amazing.
Our archive. Everything is archived.
I'm sure it's amazing. Yes,
I'm
sure. Whatever y'all was. Yes.
Yep, in about 20, 30 minutes, we'll have the link posted where you can go back and listen to it. But we really appreciate your support.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you, gentlemen. Keep this up. Oh, my goodness. And I will spread the word as much as I can. I love this show.
Thank you. All right. Lifers, as we start to wind down, start to close out, we got to do a inner soul search. In that soul search, see, the thing is, the Spirit of God is in all of us. Some people like to say energy. I call it the inner G. Psalms 82 and 6, we are all God's children of the Most High. So with that being said, we're able to decipher right from wrong. We're able to decipher and respect another person's life, another person's will, another person's desires. The thing is that as we're supposed to be the head of the home, we have to get our head straight to be in the home. Stepfathers, we understand that there's a bunch of y'all out there, and we applaud you guys. Understand this. How you treat or mistreat your own kids versus the stepkids, because when you came into the house, you assumed that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with us. As we talked about a couple of shows ago, greeting one another, valuing one another, understand that you don't always have to be the biggest bad wolf on the block. There are big bad wolves in jail. There are big bad wolves in the graveyard. sometimes we have to humble ourselves. There's been situations where I could have pulled my gun, fought, but the greater good was getting back home to continue to lead my family. I'm going to turn it over to you, bro.
Yeah, so as we kind of conclude part three of the Black Men Wake Up, you know, we highlighted tonight for the first time some of the influence, or a lot, I should say, the influence that women have on the type of men that we become, especially seeing that there are so many single mother homes where they're splitting their time between trying to take care of their child to the best of their abilities, as well as providing the only source of income that's coming in. And so we realized that there's 77.6% of Black moms that are having to spend that time between being there physically for their child and watching them and nurturing them, as opposed to providing a roof over their head and lights and stability. And so in the midst of providing for everything and having to be away from the home, unfortunately, things like YouTube has started to raise our children and become an influence. Social media has became an influence and a co-parent in a single mother home. The streets have become a co-parent to our single moms. Various forms of addiction. The fact that you're not there because you're doing what you have to do opens the doorway to so many other scenarios, whether it's molestation, whether it's experimenting with drugs, whether it's viewing things that they shouldn't see, pornographic nature, violence, whatever it may be, based on your living conditions. And I could have went even deeper tonight and even talked about the single mother homes and the portion of them that are in poverty. And we talked about in week one that poverty and crime go hand in hand. You showed me a poverty-riddled community, and I will show you, once the sun sets, the prostitutes on the corner. Where you see prostitutes, you always are going to have drugs. You know, where you have drugs, you're going to always have theft. And we can continue to elaborate and expand on that. So these are the things that are just there. So in the midst of doing everything that they can, it's still impacting this child, and the value of the child is continuously dropping. And once that value of the child drops, the value that they have therefore in society becomes even less. And we all have a responsibility to take as men as women. So men, understand that every consequence has an action. And we have to realize that, yes, while we might be in this thing just for a sexual experience, that's fine. Let's do the things to just allow it to be a sexual experience and not create this loop and chain. Oddly enough, as we're on that point tonight while at dinner, we're eating, you know, dinner just like normal. My son, my 10-year-old, comes out of nowhere and he says, "Hey, what is birth control?" So, you know, it took my wife by surprise. But these are conversations that, you know, by having older boys, you know, and then even conversations that I wish had been had with me, you know, you're kind of prepared for. So as I explain things in a kid manner, and what I mean by that is you can have three children. You can have a 2-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 14-year-old, and you cook dinner. Everybody gets the same dinner, but everybody gets it served differently. With the smaller child, you're going to cut it up in smaller pieces, right? You know, you're going to give them a smaller portion. They get the same thing, but it's a kid version. Why? So they can easily digest it, right? And then depending on the age, they get a little bit more. You might not cut their meat. They can cut it themselves. And so this is the same way. So I gave him the information, but in a 10-year-old's digestive manner. And I finished it by saying, and when you get to that age and it's time to have that conversation, remember this, don't ever believe somebody that tells you they own birth control, because he wanted to know what are the forms. Don't believe nobody tells you she's on the pill, bro. You know, so being responsible enough. Again, ladies, if you wasn't treating the other kids right, what makes you think he's going to change? Men, if you're not ready, don't lay up or protect yourself. But the bottom line is when a child comes about, we cannot take our hurts, our insecurities, and put them off on this child. We cannot hurt this child because he looks just like the man that walked out on me and I hate his guts and I can't get him back because he don't care. He done moved on with Mrs. So-and-so. So the only way that I can get my hurt, my issues off is by dogging his descendant, Junior. Not knowing that you're perpetuating this cycle because the damage that you put in on the kid, in actuality, now, again, you his mama. So if you doing this, shut the F up. Get the F out of my room. What do you think he's going to do when he gets to school and that teacher says, hey, young man, I need you to put your phone away. We see in the videos where the student is attacking the teacher, then gets beat up and everybody. And you can always tell the younger generation because they want to say the teacher was wrong. Nobody wants to take any type of actions and say, hey, that was the teachings that came from the child, because ain't no way you're going to disrespect. I don't care. You swung on the teacher. Let's talk about why. And to make sure I wasn't tripping, I actually asked my mama. My mama old school. She don't play nobody games. You know, like, I can remember a few years back, my niece and nephew are in town from Denver. We all in the living room in my mom's crib in Indianapolis just kiki kaka. My nephew messed around and dropped the F-bomb talking to me so casual. And when I tell you that record skipped in all of our hearts. And I looked at my mama and I'm fearful because I ain't even did it. I'm just scared. I'm going to get blamed somehow. I don't want no smoke. I'm grown, scared of a whooping. So I asked my mom, yo, if this was me, would you want to run up on the teacher? Or she was like, yeah, it'd probably be you that's getting this beat down. Because, you know, so as I conclude, man, like, let's, in the midst of compensating ladies for the dad not being active, being present, do not cater and give in and almost be blinded to the things that your child really is doing because you're trying to replace something that you know that they're missing. And I also, and the last thing, bro, and I'm gonna give it back. I want you all to stop focusing on giving your kids what you didn't have. I had a female customer of mine that was very adamant that she worked so hard because she's trying to give her kids all the things she didn't have. And I asked her, I said, well, do you feel that you're a good person? She said, yeah. I said, do you feel you turned out okay? She said, yeah. I said, so if you turned out okay, you're successful, you have businesses, why are you trying to give your kids something you didn't have instead of giving them all the things you did that got you to this point and then giving them a little extra to get further, a little bit of know-how that you've learned along the way to get them even further? So thank y'all, man, as we wrap up part three. Bro, do what you do.
Man, y'all, as I get this thing back, again, we appreciate your minds, your time, and your hearts. I want to give a shout out once again because I started kind of hot and heavy. Give a shout out to all the graduates on any level that have graduated this year.
Absolutely.
The world is at your doorstep, and people that are in place, it's your job to help them unlock, help them find the key, help them be better. I am just so thankful that God has surrounded me with the people as I grew up without a father. Well, without a father, I'm grateful for my experiences because like my relationship with my co-host, he continues to make me a better man. Iron sharpens iron. So next week, y'all, we'll be back. Same time, same place, lifers.
Tell them how can they become a lifer? How can they become a lifer, bro?
Man, so if you're catching the archive, and y'all are catching them, believe me, we see it. We appreciate it. We're here every night, every Wednesday night, rather, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Facts.
You can call in 516-531-9473. Or you can go to the site.
Uh-huh.
www.
Read.
blogtalkradio.com/. That's the one leaning to the right. It's /. Life Be Lifin' Podcast. Continue the life, and we go continue to be here to talk about it. Until next time.
Heaven's at the door, so there'll be no bum rushing. Let's get together before we're falling apart. I heard a brother shot another, it broke my heart. I don't understand the difficulty, people. Love your brother, treat him as an equal. They call us animals, I don't agree with them. I'll prove them wrong, but right is what you're proving them. Take heed before I leave to what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
Heavy deep, deep in the heart of the matter. The self-destruction is served on a platter. Making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, picked and plucked. New jack in jail, but this is the best ever duck. There's no one around, cause in jail you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about
self-destruction. 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 Self-destruction.
Yes, we urge them.